Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In 1986, British pop star Robert Palmer sang these words, "Your lights are on, but you're not home. Your will is not your own. Your heart sweats and teeth grind. Another kiss, and you'll be mine. You like to think that you're immune to this stuff. It's closer to the truth to say that you can't get enough. You know you're going to have to face it. You're addicted to love. Might as well face it. You're addicted to love. Might as well face it. You're addicted to love. Might as well face it. You're addicted to love." That song, along with the accompanying video, pretty much put Robert Palmer on the map, or at least solidified his place on the map. And while the song and the video are somewhat intoxicating, I don't think a person can truly be addicted to love. I checked with the DSM-5. That is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 5th edition. And I couldn't find anything in there about a love addiction. There was plenty of information about substance addictions to things such as alcohol and hallucinogens and stimulants and sedatives and tobacco and such. There's even information in there about behavioral addictions to things such as gambling or eating or even sex. But I couldn't find any addiction to love. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, just that it hasn't been studied enough to establish any diagnostic criteria. There also wasn't anything in the DSM-5 about spiritual addictions. And yet, according to our epistle reading today, that seems to be what Paul is describing. You see, an addiction is identified as a brain disorder characterized by compulsive engagement in rewarding stimuli despite adverse consequences. Or in plain language, it is the repeated need or desire to do something that you really don't want to do. To do something that might have an immediate feel-good response, but that will later result in a very bad effect. Folks addicted to alcohol don't want to ruin their lives and the lives of their family members and ruin their future. But they are powerless on their own to stop drinking. And people addicted to eating are not out there trying to gain hundreds of pounds so that they can become burdensome to themselves and their family and their friends and shorten their lifespan. But they are powerless to control their eating habits on their own. And Christians, addicted to sin, are not trying to anger God so that they all end up in hell. But they are powerless to control that sinful nature that has been a part of their being since their very conception. Paul said in Romans 7, it's our epistle reading today, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no. The evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. In other words, Paul is saying this, that even as a baptized child of God, even as a disciple of Jesus, even as a person who loves the Lord, who wants to serve Him, that he cannot stop doing evil. Paul recognizes and confesses that he is powerless to stop sinning. He is completely incapable of obeying God's law. He simply cannot do the good that God wants him to do, and that he himself wants to do. He cannot stop doing the evil that he doesn't want to do. He is, in a manner of speaking, totally and completely addicted to sin. So are we. His condition is our condition. Like Paul, we were each born in bondage to sin. We were born outside of a relationship with God, powerless to please God. Powerless, that is, on our own. But God in His grace adopted us into His family through the water and through the word of holy baptism. The Holy Spirit covered us with the forgiveness that Jesus had won for us through His death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave. And He began that process of transforming us into the likeness of Christ. And yet, in spite of all that God has done for us and that God continues to do for us, our sin still remains. We still are wretched sinners. We still cannot, of our own will and by our own strength, keep God's commands. Regardless of the Spirit's power and presence in our lives, we still live and walk and breathe in these bodies of death. And thus, Paul calls himself the chief of all sinners. And that's not because of what he had once done, you know, before he came to faith in Christ Jesus as he was a persecutor of the church. No. He's talking about right then and right there. Because, you see, even as a forgiven, redeemed, and empowered child of God, he still could not stop his sinful behavior. He was powerless to put an end to his ungodly ways. And so Paul states, he laments, he confesses, "Oh, what a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" And his answer to his own question is this: thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Though Paul knows that he is a sinner who deserves nothing but death, He also knows that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, that God will give him nothing but life. For you see, the way to overcome sin, that sin that controls so much of our behavior, is not by stopping it, or controlling it, or changing it, or boxing it in, but it's by forgiving it. And that's what God, through Christ, has done. We can try, as well we should, to cage our sin and to chain it and to break it, to bring that sin under our control. And we might even rid ourselves of portions of our sin for a time. But eventually that sin always breaks free. Eventually, we always find ourselves doing those things that we don't want to do, giving in to the sin that we hate. And so you see, our righteousness before God comes not as a result of our ability, even by God's power, to do right, but always and only as a result of His forgiveness. We are righteous and holy in God's sight because we are forgiven of our sins, not because we have mastered our sins. I'm going to say that one more time. We are righteous and holy in God's sight because we are forgiven of our sins, not because we have mastered our sins. And thus, our thanks must always be given to God and to God alone. For it's only because of the sacrifice of His Son Jesus that we've been saved. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. What a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.